I left my phone. It's charging. I thought so. And thank you for knowing exactly what I needed. Eric Arno! Thank you, Eric. Next up on the stage. This is somebody, I think I met you through your stories too, right?
No, actually.
No, I met you through Sketchfest. Other Guys web series release party in a random theater in Wicker Park. Steel trap. That's like a little rusted and like you can get out of. One of the kindest people, one of the longest friends, one of the most fun person to have a conversation with, and absolutely one of the best writers and storytellers I ever got the opportunity to work with in Chicago. I'm so delighted to bring up Andrew Bentley. I get so many hugs.
Yep. Hello, I'm Andrew Bentley. Now, I don't want to get too esoteric this month, but some of you may be aware that there was recently an election. You may have missed it because it occurred primarily in 5 states you would otherwise have no reason to think about. Pennsylvania, home of the second highest NRA membership, second signer of the Constitution, and my grandfather's second marriage to his first cousin. Florida, where the state bird is the taxidermied gator chicken grotesque discovered in a serial killer's mobile home. Wisconsin, hereafter to be known as the traitor state. North Carolina, whose 2 main state exports are airborne hog feces and Marine Corps rapists. And Ohio, home of the Cleveland Browns. All of these states went red on November 7th, resulting in a Republican victory and perhaps mercifully bringing an end at last to the Lars von Trier movie, which has been the last quarter century of Hillary Clinton's life. Unfortunately, this also resulted in the election to the highest office in the country of improvisational arsonist and all-around fatuous rectum Donald Trump. Now, my own home state, Virginia, went blue in the election, as this is the third election in a row where the Commonwealth has voted more in line with New England than the erstwhile Confederacy. I'm sorry to say I may now have lost my designation as a Southerner, and with it, the last vestiges of a personality. But in the 12 days since the election, Trump has exhibited the policies of the 1920s, the subtlety and restraint of a Captain Planet villain, and a level of interest in the actual duties of the presidency reminiscent of the time when I was 9 and I guilted my Nana into a 2-player game of Avalon Hill's Cosmic Encounter. Between his business dealings, appointees, and general display of incompetent belligerence, the only way he could throw up more red flags would be if he had personally eaten the Kremlin. Now, all of this is background to the subject I actually mean to address, the impending economic depression. All of us are likely to take a hit, and if you've recently incurred any additional financial hardships, like, say, quitting your job and moving to the most expensive city in the country with your actor boyfriend, it may be pertinent to learn some survival tips for crippling poverty. Now, my audience here are... my audience here are not the actual systemic poor kept in a state of disadvantage by the slow grinding organs of capitalism, but rather, like me, the new poor, the soon-to-be-rife bougie poor, where you still go to live theater and listen to podcasts and use plastic bags as bags and nothing else. Where your parents own their house and you still secretly kind of think of your poverty as fodder for a gritty-as-fuck chapter in your eventual triumphant memoirs, even if that chapter is starting to get a lot, a lot longer than you thought it would be. Maybe there's like it's a two volumes to biographies, like Roald Dahl's, except instead of getting caned and fighting in World War II, you double major in acting and sociology and bum PBRs off your friends with business degrees. For you, from my own experience, here are some of the things you can expect. Firstly, if you're an introvert, good news. You don't have to see anyone anymore. Most social gatherings involve food and activities, and generally speaking, those things cost money. You now have a free excuse not to see anyone ever again. If people insist on inviting you places anyway, make them pay for you, or they'll never learn their lesson. If they try and trick you by planning free activities like board games or heart-to-heart conversations, complain loudly about how you had to walk there because you couldn't afford to take the bus. Before you know it, you'll be free to devote your time solely to the things that matter, like replaying old computer games from your childhood, meticulously cataloging increasingly depraved pornography, and staring into the middle distance for long, silent hours while you think about every bad decision you've ever made. If you're an extrovert, you're also in luck. Society finds that to be a marketable skill. There are entire fields built around being a people person, such as phone banking, drug dealing, and performing an increasingly depraved pornography for the introverts to catalog. Second tip, become one with nature. As my own standards of health, hygiene, and discourse slowly decline, I also enjoy an increasing kinship with the fauna around me. For instance, I used to kill spiders and house centipedes, which I discovered on my ceiling. Now I take a bizarre interest in their inscrutable hierarchy, picking favorites and cheering them on like my own personal reality TV show. Some live on victoriously in the corners of my study, while others are ultimately bested and must leave the house, like Big Brother if the contestants ate each other, or if they found Ryan Seacrest's calcified little body curled up behind the toilet. My third and final tip, enjoy the show. Chances are you won't be the last to drop below the poverty line. As the tide of economic depression creeps towards high ground, much like the actual tides 4 years into a Trump presidency, you can lord your experience over the last in the water. Treat it like a cool new brunch place or bar you've discovered, and show them how to trick the CTA sensors into giving you a free ride. When someone comes to you in tears and tells you they've lost everything, act like they just saw the first season of Game of Thrones and roll your eyes like two tumbleweeds drifting down the decrepit highways of our once proud cities. Tell them that they haven't seen anything yet, and to talk to you after they've started making toilet paper out of their old graphic design portfolio. Make sure they feel like real ignorant assholes. The most important thing is that they know your suffering is even realer and more important than theirs. If you can manage that, it doesn't matter what kind of monstrous homunculi are jerking the levers of federal power like penny slots at the Bellagio. America is still great. Thank you. I also want to take a moment for the customary Claire comments. I'll be brief.
Okay.
I just want to say, as you pointed out, we met at the other guy's web party in 2010, the first year I moved here. Mm-hmm. You were one of the, certainly of the people who are still around in Chicago, one of the very first people I ever met in the city. And I want to say, I know I don't always make it easy to be my friend or to, you know, to care for me. So I just want to thank you for everything.
So much friendship here. That was really sad, but then it was nice, so whatever. I guess that's how I feel.